Today, continuing Hilchos Brachos, 10 and 10, we're going to do the Bracha of Mizonos. Okay, so our discussion yesterday regarding bread and pas, just to give a little shout out to Sammy, we discussed after shiur in the group, that what differentiates Mizonos from Hamotzi is not entirely based on the content and the ingredients in the food, although that's very important, as we'll see, but in theory, the ingredients are more or less the same in Mizonos and Hamotzi, and we refer to them both as pas. There's pas and there's pas b'kisten. So why do we need a second bracha, right? Why wasn't Mizonos good enough for bread as well? Borei mina Mizonos means one who creates items that are nourishing and sustaining. So bread is, and nice Danish or a muffin is also, right? So the answer is the chashivas of bread as the staple central food at a suda is what defines it as something which calls for a separate bracha. In the same way that we talk about wine, right? Why is wine different than other fruit juices? So wine has a chashivas that apple juice doesn't. So because of the chashivas, that's what warranted its own separate bracha. But when it comes likewise, when it comes to the bread, the baked goods, the staple nature of bread and its centrality to suda and nourishment is what gives it its own separate bracha. So only when the bread is serving that purpose, only when that bread has the character that lends itself to that designation, will it get a hamotzi. And every other type of bread or every other type of pas, namely pas baba kisnin, will fall into the Mizonos category unless, and this is the key that brings it all together, unless you eat it in a fashion where the pas baba kisnin takes on that role. So that cinnamon challah, which could arguably be a Mizonos every other day of the week, when you have it on Shabbos for your Lecha Mishnah, can be transformed into a Hamotzi because it's serving a different purpose, unless, like Rabbi Sobolowski, you serve it for dessert. Okay? So what exactly defines pas b'kisten and makes something into a Mizonos? So there are three categories, there are three definitions. Okay? We'll try to look at each one individually over the next couple of minutes. So the first one is, the first one relates to the dough itself. Okay? So I mix flour and I mix water. Those are the basic ingredients. But how much juice do I put in? Do I put milk into the mixture? Do I add honey to the mixture? Do I add sugar to the mixture? Okay, so this is what we call nilosh. Nilosh is the kneading of the dough itself. If the dough is kneaded with a very significant proportion of these other ingredients, these we'll say sweeteners for the moment. Okay, so then we have something to talk about. Then we can begin to discuss maybe there's a Mizonos. However, there's a major machlokas between the Sfaradim and the Ashkenazim in terms of what extent is necessary of adding these other ingredients to transform it into a Mizonos. According to the Mechaber, according to the Shulchan Aruch, according to the Sfaradim, all that's necessary is that it is a tam murgash, that when you bite into this bread, you can taste the sweetness. You can taste that it's not simply bread made out of water and flour. Okay, so as long as it has a little bit of a sweetness to it, it is already perhaps going to be a Mizonos, and this is why egg challahs or sweet challahs, according to the Sfaradim, may only be Mizonos, as opposed to a water challah. However, when it comes to the Ashkenazi psak, the Ramah says it's not enough to just be some taste of sweetness or the like. It has to be the majority. It has to be rov me peros. Instead of kneading it, flour and water, so you have to add, let's say milk or let's say a juice, okay, which is sometimes used to sweeten the mixture. If it's the majority, if the sugar is there to such an extent that the majority is, and the oil also in relation to the water content of the dough, if the majority is this other sweetening element, so then we can discuss such a bread constituting the a Mizonos example. Okay? So that's number one. That's what we call nilosh. And this is what the Mizonos role discussion is based upon, because again, according to Sfaradim, unless it's a real water challah, so there's grounds to call that Mizonos. For Ashkenazim, it's going to require a much higher sweetness content to it in order to constitute a Mizonos. However, the challenge is when the derech of this roll, which, you know, sometimes the Mizonos rolls in Eretz Yisrael, they look like challah rolls. So if you eat it either independently as the amount that a person would be koveh suda on, okay, I don't know, a roll or two, Or even if you have one roll, not two rolls, but you take that one roll and you fill it with tuna fish or vegetables or cream cheese, other ingredients that ultimately add up to the quantity that a person would be koveh su'ud on. So even if you did hold that roll was a mizonos to begin with, it's going to end up being a hamotzi because of the kviya suda, as we described earlier. The question then becomes, if I'm on an airplane and I'm just nibbling at the mizonos roll, right? I'm not being koveh su'ud. I take a few bites. So it's not going to be nikba as a suda for me. So for a Sfaradi, it would for sure be mizonos. But in this case, for Ashkenazim, it's a little bit more complicated. On the one hand, you could argue, as some postmen do, that I'm having a small quantity, and the proportion of the sugar and the other ingredients in the mizonos roll are very high, and therefore it would be this concept of nilosh, that type of possible kisnin. On the other hand, if it's created in such a tzura, where this is really something that people would eat in the place of standard lechem, so then, according to many postmen, that still carries a hamotzi to it, and therefore it's best to avoid for Ashkenazim finding yourself in this situation. Rather, eat it quantitatively or qualitatively as a regular roll, wash, tilis adayim, hamotzi, brachas hamazon, and you'll be out of any suffix. Okay, so that's category number one. Category number two is what we call memula. If it's filled with other ingredients, again, not as ingredients in the dough itself, that's what we were talking about in the first category. The second category, possible bikistan, is where you have the basic dough formed, and then you add on top of that, could be nuts, could be chocolate, could be jelly, right? If I have two slices of bread and I put jelly on top of it, no one's going to say that you don't make hamotzi. Why? Because in that case, the jelly wasn't added to the bread, nor was it added on top of the dough or in the dough before it was baked. It's all after the bread has become bread, and then you put a topping, then you put the jelly on top of it. But if when I have the unbaked dough, okay, I have a strip of dough, and then I put some chocolate in and I roll it up, put some sugar inside, I roll it up, that's what you call ruglach, right? So the reason why that's mizonos is because even though the dough itself may not include the sweeteners, but it's packaged up, it's wrapped up, it's topped with one of these sweetening ingredients, and therefore it is a mizonos as well. Okay, and finally, the third category is what we call prichim, or ke'echen yaveshim, crunchy foods, okay? Best example of a crunchy food that is a mizonos 100% possible bikisnin is a sourdough pretzel, okay? Or even, you know, that's super crunchy. Even if it's your standard pretzel twist, you buy in a little, you know, snack bag or something like that, that is a mizonos because it's crunchy, okay? Now, again, we'll talk more in a moment, okay? Tam Tam, most types of crackers. In general, the common denominator amongst these three categories is that each one of them, they're generally not made as lechem, primary staples of the suda, as we discussed. They're snack foods. They tend to be eaten on the go, just, you know, to fill you up a little bit, but not really as a suda per se. And crunchy food as well. Usually, people don't use crunchy food as the primary staple in their suda. Although it is important to mention a couple exceptions to that. Even this in the crunchy category, one example. Where it's a little more complicated is pita chips. Okay, so what's a pita chip? Pita chip is a snack, just like a pretzel, right? Just like a cracker. However, the first thing we need to ask ourselves when you are looking at something like pita chips is, how is it made? My understanding, Stacy's pita chips, for example, okay? Stacy's pita chips are made as pizzas. That's how, if you read the story on the bag, how the company came to being. Pita's a pita. It's bread, right? It's mamash hamotzi. And then you toast it, you dry it out, you heat it up until it's crispy, until it's crunchy. All these bagel stores, right? What do they do with their leftover bagels? They slice them up, they make bagel chips. So that's a hamotzi that's basically toast, right? If you toast something in a toaster, of course you can still make a mizonos on it. The only question becomes, what if it's made directly into that form? Melba toast. There's certain types of Melba toast. Anyone ever have Melba toast? It's a certain type of cracker that's basically made from slices, smaller slices of bread, but it goes right into the toasted form. Okay, meaning I made it from the dough directly into the toasty, crunchy form. So then it's like a pretzel. That's going to be mizonos. But if it's made, step one, like a pita, then I make it crunchy as a pita chip, so then it's probably a mozi. The in-between case, which is subject to machlokas, is what if I make it into bread, But all the while that I'm into bread, I had in mind to ultimately go to the next step and turn it crunchy. So that's a shayla in the poskim. Rosh Hashanah is of the opinion that that's still hamotzi. I mean, even if I made the pita chip with the intention of getting to the pita chip, even if it, because it stayed in the interim phase as a pita and became hamotzi, so then just because you toast it a little bit more doesn't change it back into a mizonos. Okay? We'll just leave off. There is a little bit of a question as regard to matzah itself. So what bracha do Sfarim make on matzahs? Mizonos. Except on Pesach. As long as it's not Pesach, Sfarim make mizonos, because it seems to fit all the characteristics we're describing. It's a crunchy food. Ashkenazi matzah. The difference between a tam tam and matzah is very, very okay. Almost. That's almost all it is. So, question is, why don't Ashkenazi make mizonos on matzah the whole year? So, the simple answer is there's a number of factors. The reason why they make hamotzi is because when you're talking about a large size matzah that's designed, that presents itself, that clearly is meant to be a bread, again, function in the meal, like we're talking about. Yeah, people all year round, they make matzah pizza, they'll put cream cheese on matzah. We always have leftover matzah after Yom Tov is over, and we eat it like basically until Purim, more or less. So, you know, pretty soon we can't eat any matzah because it's getting too close to Pesach. But we use it for sandwiches all the time. So if it's in that form, so then it will stay with our motzi the whole year round. But nonetheless, Sfarim still hold that we treat it like any other cracker, and it's mizonos.